The first verse in this book is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men. And that's where we have been put. And we know the results of sin. But we know salvation is of the Lord. And that being born again, born from above, we belong to God. We're God's children. Your responsibility and mine now is not to act like a child of Adam, but like a child of God. I'm just going to point out to you four cases where heaven was open to look down the earth and the earth look up at heaven. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 3. The Lord was here. He had grown up. He was ready to enter into His ministry, which God had sent Him to do. If you look in Matthew 3, verse 13, we read, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer, or let it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him." There's the first time. The heavens were opened unto Jesus down here on the earth. What a marvelous thing this is. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." What else? "In whom I am well pleased." It's the first time that this could possibly be. Because before this, of all the men that had come between Adam and Christ, none could please God. You and I were born in sin. As we said before, the only trouble with our children is they're just like the parents, born in sin. And God has war with Amalek from generation to generation, always. That's the old nature, Adam nature, taken over by Satan, and God fights against it. But here, heaven was opened. And heaven looking down at the earth to see that one man, who was it? Jesus. And whose voice was this? This is the first time in the Bible where we clearly see the Trinity. Because it says, he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Then the voice, the Father's voice. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all here. And heaven opened to look down on the earth and to see that wondrous sight. Well, this is the first time it had happened. And in my memory, there are three more times. We'll just take them up briefly. So let's go to Acts chapter 7 to see another scene where heaven is opened, and a slightly different result is seen. We have Stephen. He's charging those Jews. Verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Just like children, just like the parents. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one? Finally, a just person had come. He's talking about Jesus, whom the Jewish nation had delivered to the Roman power to be crucified, and the day of Pentecost had come, and brethren, saints were gathered, and the assemblies increased, and they had need of deacons, so they chose 7 men to serve, to wait on tables, so that the apostles could minister the word. And the first one that they chose in the list, you look back and you'll see that it was Stephen. Now here was Stephen. And he's charging that nation with what they had done. He says, you're the betrayers and murderers of this just one. You received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. That was too much for the nation. They rose up and stoned Stephen. What happened to him? He went up to glory. What a marvelous scene we have now. Let's read about it. When they heard these things, they were cut in the heart, and they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost had taken over and forming the church, looking up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. This is what the Word of God tells us that he saw. He, looking up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now he tells us what impressed him. Stephen said, behold, I see heavens open. There it is, the second time the heavens are opened. Why is it open this time? For a man on the earth to look up there and see Jesus going up there. What a marvel this is. How God opened up to Stephen, the first martyr, ready to go in the heavens. A man on the earth could look up through there and see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. But he says, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. That's what impressed him. Who was it that was up there? The Son of Man in heaven. He became the Son of Man, as we have referred in our meetings, to the 14th verse of John 1. And the Word was made or became flesh. Never had that happened before. And dwelt among us full of grace, glory, and the heavens. I'm going to have to refer back to John 1 and quote that correctly, because I don't want to make a mistake on that. Slip my mind for a moment. John 1 and 14 says, The parenthesis I was trying to quote, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the parenthesis says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Then it goes on, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. I'll just go on and read a little bit more because this is so wonderful here. The 16th verse, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses. This is the verse I wanted. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Are grace and truth still here? Yes, they are. The God of all grace. Peter ends up talking about that. He is the God of all grace. The Lord Jesus, when here, personally said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in his prayer to the Father in the 17th of John, he said, keep them through thy truth, thy word. Thy word is truth. You and I have the truth in Jesus. We have it in this blessed book. And then if you want to look, turn over to 1 John 4. And I'll try and find this and read it. Oh, it's where it says, the Spirit is truth. I should have looked this up before, but I didn't think I was going to get up here.
5:6.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's at the end of the verse. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness. That's right now. Why does He bear witness? Because the Spirit is truth. It's comforting to see this. You and I have the truth as it lived out in Jesus. We can look at Him. We can read this word, and it is truth. I say, grace and truth are still here, regardless of all the failure and the wreckage. Well, here was the second man that went up to heaven, the second opening of the heavens, for Stephen, the martyr, to go up there. And it was for those people on the earth, for Stephen, who was on the way, to look there and see where he was going. He looked into the heavens. He saw where he was going. Now let's go to the third one, and that will be in the 19th chapter of Revelation, which has been referred to many times in these 2 days. The 19th chapter of Revelation, and I'll just say without looking them all up, that there are 7 visions which were given to the writer, starting with this one. And I saw. You can follow them through. And then there's an 8th. That's God. That's the eternal state. And it's where judgment to cleanse the earth is given at that time by the one who rides on the white horse. We've referred to what was told us by others. Esther 6, verse 6. What shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor? That man that God the king delights to honor is Jesus. I'll say that in the case of Mordecai, there was a literal exaltation of that Jew to be put upon a certain horse and to be paraded down the street and saying to him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor." That's the Jew. That's figurative. But when the Lord came, I think maybe it's the 19th of Luke, he got on a little colt and rode into Jerusalem and had a little fulfillment of that as he came in grace. And who was it that praised him there? The babes and the children. What a reproach to us old folks. The little ones knew Jesus there. But now God's going to give him that kind of fulfillment. I'll mention that Haman was an Agagite. Agag was the king of the Amalekites. That race that God is going to have war with from generation to generation. And the top man was here in Haman. He thought he was going to get the place. He knew what the place wanted. The forefront and the show before everybody. So God took him up on that. And now he gives it to his son in the 19th of Revelation and the 11th verse in this way. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Bill was talking about the Faithful and True. I had forgotten a little bit about how he read that, but this word faithful. Faithful and true. He that sat upon the horse was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Notice that that is singular. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus, clothed with honor and glory to come forth in judgment. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here, Jesus is finally set up and proceeded before the whole of the world at that time as a judge to cleanse the world. And he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So then, the heaven is opened. And this will be seen both apparently in heaven and on earth when that one comes and takes over as judge. Well, that's the third time heaven is opened. There's one more time that I know of, and I don't know of any others, where it says it that way, and that was what we spoke about in John's Gospel, chapter 1. The last verse of John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm trying to present them in the order which they occur. I trust that it is so. In John 1, the last verse, we'll read a little bit more to pick up the one who is talking. Well, Philip finds Nathanael and brings him to Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming in verse 47. And he says to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed is whom is no guile, no pretense. This man Nathanael, such an unusual man." And it was true. But what does Nathanael say? Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me, Jesus? How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree." Here we have that well-known symbol of those who belong to the Jewish people, the fig tree. But it means more than that, I believe. "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, Master, thou art the Son of God." How quickly Nathanael, doubtless, he had been literally under a fig tree which had its dense leaves. And he was there, doubtless, to pray. And he was talking to Jesus, but he hadn't met Jesus. Now he meets him. All of a sudden, Jesus appears to him. He had been talking to him in prayer. And Nathanael owns him as the Son of God and as the King of Israel. Highly unusual. And a marvelous reward he gets. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I saw thee, I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou?" Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than these. And then he uses this word hereafter. He said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter." To me, this is a long way down in the fulfillment of prophecy. Not only had Jesus come to be baptized and heaven opened to have heaven look upon a man on the earth and be well pleased in him, declare the Trinity. Not only had the first martyr been called up to heaven and said, "I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." But we have passed the judgments, a time that's yet future, in the book of Revelation, when the Lord Jesus will come to take up the throne in judgment upon his enemies. I'm not going to go through those seven "and I saw," but you can look them up at your leisure. Then I think maybe there's an eighth that comes over and brings in the time when God takes over. Maybe I better go back and refresh my mind on that and let you see it too. Come, hold this place in John for a little bit. We referred in the meetings to the new heaven and the new earth. That is the end I saw of Revelation 21, if you want to look at it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, where the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. They are judged. Well, there, that completes those different visions that were given in the book of Revelation for us to know about ahead of time. But here, the hereafter, back in John's Gospel, chapter 1, the last verse, hereafter ye shall see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's all it says. The scene seems to be final. Hereafter. God has won out, we must say, in the Son of Man. When he's put down all that judgment that he has completed in the end of the book of Revelation. So now, Jesus says to Nathanael, you're going to see something beyond this. You're going to see heaven open and all those divine creatures who are servants that we've finished up Hebrews 1 reading about, the ministering spirits for us too. All of them, the angels of God ascending, going up and descending upon the Son of Man. That puts Jesus in the center of the whole sphere of all things, and all things settled. Truly, these four openings up of heaven, for earth to look up into heaven, and for heaven to look down on earth to see what is being done, are wonderful.